Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino here on Super Bowl week. Busy show lined up today. Warren Sharp on the program coming up in about 90 minutes. He's on the show today to get some bets in on the Super Bowl. Dr. David Chow later on in the program. Spoiler alert, he has concerns about Drake May's shoulder. Max Hoffmeyer on tonight's college basketball card. Maybe sneak in some future talk with him as well. I can't wait to talk to Chow when he's on the program today, Pauly, because he reached out to you. You guys were chit-chatting back and forth, and he was expressing his concerns overall about the shoulder for May. And you go back and look, of course, this is like late last week. He missed Friday's practice, the right shoulder, but also the illness that kicked in. And this will obviously be a thing to monitor throughout the entire week, and I'm sure we'll have a bigger update coming up on like Wednesday.
He's more concerned about Spillane. So that's also something to watch. We got a couple things to kick around with him. So I know he put video out there after he was tackled on the long rush and then the horrible throw on third down that wasn't even close, which was after the flea flicker. But certainly the time off is going to help him too. And then he got sick. So as Vrabel said, it's our 21st game. No one's 100%. But I know when we talked to Ira Kaufman, he said 60, 70 on Mayfield. When we knew he was hurt, it'd be nice to get a percentage on Drake May.
Yep, no doubt. And here was Drake May when he was asked about that shoulder missing practice last week.
Were you limited at all? Do you anticipate being limited moving forward?
I'm just trying to do whatever I can to get back to 100%. And I think a lot of people in the locker room would say the same thing. Having a 2-week break, it's nice to maybe rest a little more and get back to get to know the Seahawks as good as I can. And from there, looking forward to getting out to practice and trying to transfer that to live game reps. Spend time. That's why you have trainers and I think it's just been one of those things where it's a long season and sometimes you things show up and I'll do whatever I can to feel 100% and I'm sure I'll get if not there as close as you can 99 or do whatever I can to make sure I'm throwing and like I said do whatever I can to help the team win.
That feels a little bit like his head coach is Mike Vrabel. Vrabel, of course, played for Bill Belichick. Belichick never said anything. May actually did give you a good soundbite there, but it's like, okay, we're going to keep this tight-lipped. And even if you are like 60%, you cannot make anybody even think twice about the shoulder being a problem here for the game.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find out in the game early on, too, by the way, if this awesome Seahawks defense gets to him and they put him on his shoulder, he'll feel that pain immediately.
That'd be something.
Yeah, it would be.
Because there's also a prop up here at Circa. Will Dobbs take a snap? And it's 8-1. They also have Drew Lock in there, too, if you think it'd be a blowout. Or Elway. If he has, like Elway play, he has to use the bathroom.
Kenny Pickett last year.
Yeah. Will the backup get in there? Good call. 8-1 on both.
Okay. So on Friday's program, we did run down like all these predictions. It was ESPN, it was the Athletic. So on and so forth. And every single person who selected a team to win this game, it was Seattle. A lot of it was in a route to with the predictions. That can never be a good thing. And some sports books have been reporting over the weekend anyway that the most popular bets are Seahawks alt numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And you go and look at DraftKings right now, 66% of the bets on Seattle in this game, 73% of the handle. I'm looking at the betting splits right now at vsin.com. They also show the numbers over here at Circa, which they take more sharp action. 67% of the bets now on Seattle, 53% on the Seahawks, but yet the number remains 4.5. This game screams Seahawks in a blowout, but everybody's predicting that, and it's never that easy.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. And people on the other side are still worried about Darnold. How about that, Mitch? That could happen too. The guy who led the league in turnovers. So I think they'll win a low-scoring game, and it could be ugly, and that would help out with some of these props. Well, we'll see if that happens. But it is troubling that everyone's looking at Seattle here.
What does your betting portfolio look like now that we had the entire weekend to have more props maybe added? You looked around some more?
They did a good job here. Will Hill added stuff. You went to Boomers. So a lot of books also came out Thursday and Friday with some interesting stuff. Shortest scoring drive of the game, 59.5 seconds.
That is available at several books now.
How about that? You got to go over, right?
Well, are we going to get a four-play drive in under a minute?
I know.
Probably not.
That one's good.
Now, are we going to get a one-play drive? Could it be a punt return? Both these teams are awesome returning kicks.
Yeah.
Could it be something like that where you're set up? Could it be Sam Darnold turned the ball over more than any other quarterback in the league this year? Patriots, great defense. May has been Mr. Fumbleitis here lately.
Yep.
So could you get a turnover where the other team starts to drive like inside the 30 and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Three plays later, they're in the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very good. That's creative. Like this one, which I think it was either last year or the year before it cashed. Will a quarterback finish with negative rushing yards plus 850? That's only Darnold, though. It's not going to happen to May. And May, I know you like this one. May the force be with you. 250 yards passing, 50 yards rushing. 14-1.
Wow.
That's a good one. Will someone over 300 pounds score a touchdown? That's here. 30-1. Offensive lineman, 28-1. Offensive lineman with a reception, 40-1. Will any player complete a pass to himself? 75-1. I've only seen this globally. I want defensive guy touchdown. Defensive tackle in honor of Vrabel and how they used him when he was a Patriot. But that's been hard to find in Nevada.
You imagine you get the, with that wording, if you get the offensive lineman to score a touchdown
and he's 298.
He's officially listed at 297.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Yeah, right, that's exactly.
Good. Okay, and I know you like this one. The worst rule in sports. Any player fumbles into the opponent's end zone and results in a touchback, 18-1.
That's here at Circa?
That's here at Circa.
Oh.
They have a yes-no on it, too. 18-1.
That actually happened in a big playoff game. That was Browns and Chiefs.
Yeah.
When the Browns and Mayfield, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were holding their own in the first half. I don't remember the exact scenario, but I think they were going to have the lead going into halftime. What, did Mahomes get hurt in that game? And the backup came in?
A little bit, yeah. I remember that was I know Jackson, but
now that
was it two? Did he get hurt in that game too?
I think he got hurt in that game, and they had, who's boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
That's coming to, that absolutely happened, and that was a major talking point, obviously.
They do have the John Casey kickoff out of bounds plus 675. That's good.
Have you given any more thought to the yes, no on the kickoff, the first kickoff at all to be a touchback?
Yeah, 3-1. Yeah. I think it's in play. I like that.
You want to bet the 3-1?
Yes. Yes. Touchback opening kickoff. Score on the last play of the game plus 650. And in honor of the Malcolm Butler game, will there be an interception in the final minute? That's 12-1. That's also offered at Circa.
Well, that's
excellent job.
You have many scenarios where that could happen.
Yeah.
You could have a Hail Mary attempt.
Yeah.
You could have
thrown up for grabs.
For sure. Yeah, that's in the final minute it has to take place, so, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Interception in the first quarter is plus 350.
Yeah. I don't mind that. Brady did in the last one. Second drive of the game in the end zone. He threw a pick. I kind of like that. How about largest lead, 14.5? You think they're going to open up a can on him? I still like that under.
No, that's what everybody is saying.
Under minus 130. I mean, are they going to really have a 17-point lead in this one? Are the Patriots going to embarrass themselves? I can't see it.
So I think for the Seahawks to actually get out in front and then really blow their doors off, it's possible. Sam Darnold has to play a pitcher-perfect game again. Like, he has to be as good as he was against the Rams in the NFC title game.
Yeah.
And their defense just has to be absolutely suffocating and probably create multiple turnovers, right? They have to be perfect on offense, in my opinion, for that lead to go over 14.5. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think the credit here to the Patriots defense has to kick in at some point. They have a lot of talent on that side of the ball, and Vrabel has had him playing great ball. I mean, we've, you know, kicked a dead horse 1,000 times with the Patriots schedule. But, and it did obviously go their way big time throughout the regular season in the playoffs. That said, their defense was outstanding in those three games. And so,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe that offense does absolutely nothing in this Seattle defensive numbers overall, and McDonald is awesome as a head coach. Like, their DVOA is one of the top 10 best teams of all time.
What do you think of the both rushing attacks here?
I don't think I don't like either one of them.
Yeah.
Well, that comes down the whole. We had Paul Bovey on the show, professional bettor last week, and he was, you know, his analysis was spot on. If Spillane is compromised in this game, that's where Walker can go off. And he pointed out that Spillane is actually more important to the rush defense than Milton Williams. And he was making a case, Paul Bovey was on our show last week, that Kenneth Walker to win the MVP, there's certainly a path there based on Spillane's health. But he would be the one guy. Yeah. I think the way to attack the running backs is something that we got caught up in quite a bit last week, is all three guys basically in the passing game. Maybe four if you want to throw Helani in there.
No, all dump offs, yep.
Huh?
Yep, and it's not hard to do. These guys all just have to have a catch or two catches. And Seahawks are flying. Sam, over 227. Walker, over 75 yards rushing, plus 550. That also seems doable and manageable, although I think they contain Walker, but still it's not, that's not a big ask for a guy to have 80 yards and he's going to have a lot of carries and a lot of touches.
Did you see the combined yards for these two teams? It's like mid-600s.
Mm-hmm.
That felt like a ton.
I saw a team with the fewest yards to win the game, which was interesting. And I know your favorite bet is Cardi B on TV over 1.5. Will she be shown over 1.5 times? I know you love that.
I didn't even see that one.
Yes.
Is that out there?
Yeah,
that's offshore? That's
Kelsey. That's everything.
Okay, yeah.
She got to be. They got to show her twice.
Did they?
I mean, they show.
I thought the Giselle props always went under.
No, not the 28-3 game. That flew. I showed her like 6 times.
Well, they were married for a long time. He played in the Super Bowl every year. All right, more up next on the Super Bowl. Will an INT occur in the end zone? Total combined missed field goals and extra points and other creative props that we notice coming up here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board today. Thanks for watching YouTube TV, listening on SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our affiliates across the country. We'll get into weekend betting observations coming up in 15 minutes. I went over to Boomer's Sportsbook. Nick Bogdanovich, leading odds maker over there, been on the show several times. Yesterday, signed up for an account. And they have some very creative props as well, Paulie. You're going to like some of these kicking props, I think. For example, and some of these you can find at other books as well. There are so many out there. You're going to get lost, obviously, by looking at countless sports books, then prediction markets, etc. But the longest field goal, minus 150 versus total points in the game. So you like... You're predicting 40 points.
You're kidding.
No.
Yeah, there was another one I was looking at, too. Longest touchdown versus longest field goal. Field goal minus 160. I want field goal on both. These guys can bang them, especially Myers. And McDonald will try long field goals.
So I will tell you that I don't have a ton of bets on this game yet. I only have a handful of bets. It's my lowest, I think, I've had in many, many years at this stage of the game. But... that one sounds intriguing to me because I think alt-unders could come in this game. I think if I bet this where it would be, let's say you set it up so you go under like 37.5, you really want nothing to happen overall. Defense dominates the day. Longest field goal, minus 150 in that scenario. I kind of like that one.
Yeah.
How about this? What will be more, the longest made field goal versus the longest missed field goal? Longest missed favored.
Okay.
So will anybody attempt one that's like 58 yards? And it'll come down to like that one kick.
Yeah, Caesars offers, will someone make a 70-yard field goal?
Jesus.
And also 65 is offered too.
What's 65?
I can't remember.
It's got to be 10 to 1?
Yeah. No, I think it's bigger than that.
Okay.
70 is, I think 70's 200? 100? I got eight papers here, but that's a good one.
How about yards of the first punt minus $2 versus longest touchdown scored plus 165? could you have either one of these guys shank one for like 31 yards? The Patriots punter did it, but that was in bad weather against Denver.
Yeah.
The longest field goal minus 140 versus the longest reception. If I told you the longest reception
is
under 50 yards, you might take the field goal.
Yeah.
They are offering, will a team use all six timeouts?
Good. What's the price?
Yes, plus 180.
Good job.
Team with the longest kickoff return, Seahawks minus 120, Pats even money. I think the Pats, now what happens if everybody's right on this game and the Seahawks blow them out? That means the Pats are going to be returning more kickoffs.
Yeah.
And there's an angle where the Patriots could say, I want nothing to do with kicking to Shahid.
Yeah.
So Patriots even money might be worth a play.
Yeah.
This is very nice. Will an INT occur in the end zone?
What is the price?
9-1.
Okay, good. That's not bad
either. Teams with more trips inside the opponent's red zone. Seahawks minus 140, Pats plus 120. You could also bet both teams first drive to go inside opponent's territory or to make it all the way inside the red zone on their first drive. The Seahawks first drive inside the Pats red zone is plus 160.
Okay.
The Patriots to do it on their first drive plus 210.
Okay. First play of the game results in a first down is plus 350. That's also available.
I like that one too.
Okay. What would you make this price? Will a team convert a third or fourth down of 25 plus yards?
Oh, mamma mia.
That's what we should have in place of the onside kick. A fourth and 25. It's 12-1 here.
You know what?
But
you could have a pass interference, defensive holding.
Yeah.
That has to count towards it, right? Because you're technically getting the first down. Defensive holding, 5 yards automatic.
No, it doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
No.
Penalties don't count.
Without an accepted penalty.
Oh, well, fine print. Good for them.
No.
Then, no.
Yep.
If the penalty counted, then I would lead at that number, yes.
They really went all out with the kicking. That's a good job.
Well, here's another one.
Good job, Nick.
You'll like this one a lot, Paulie. Total missed field goals and missed extra points combined, over 1.5 is plus 310. Can we get two missed kicks?
We had four in one game, four in the AFC title game. Myers did miss two against San Francisco in week 18.
Well, this is where you want nothing to happen, and they're settling for long field goals on fourth and short.
I could see that. Yeah.
They both miss it.
That's in play.
Could you have an extra point shank off the crossbar again?
Yep.
That's a good one. Really fun. Yeah. What's your prediction for the score? We had to have them in today.
I think I did 23-17.
Seattle.
You?
24-16 New England.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What, you went to the dark side?
I had to do it.
Because it's so popular?
It's one-way traffic.
Yeah.
There were only... I don't know how many people here.
MVP? Who was your MVP?
Well, I think only one guy can win it if the Patriots win. I think it's May.
Okay.
I don't see them winning the game with him having a pedestrian game and then...
Yeah, that sounds fair.
You know, like
a running back would have to go off.
Sure. But it's, I think a handful of us were on the Patriots, but an overwhelming amount of people on Seattle again here. And mostly picking like Seattle to win big. So I just, It's a 4.5-point spread.
Mm-hmm.
Is the market completely wrong in this game? Are we going to look back on Sunday night and say, my God, they should have been 10? Which, obviously, I'm joking about that, but...
Do you think he's hurt?
I can't wait to hear from Dr. Chow on
that.
I got to hear the breakdown.
I think he's hurt, but the week off helps. It would be interesting to see if he would have played if they didn't have the week off, or how much it bothered him. So, you know, Chow putting out the video of the horrible throw on third down. It's also bad weather, but it's you're not going to get anything from these guys either. So maybe there was something there, but the week off's going to help them. But that'll be something to monitor right away. And I, based on nerves, based on sick, based on bad shoulder, I would say first pass incomplete. No, 2-1.
Yeah, I think if you got to bet both guys, I think
incomplete. Yes, excuse me, first pass incomplete.
I mean,
it's 2-1.
If it starts 2-0 with both guys going incomplete, that's a really nice start to the day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you only go 1-1 on that, again, you're going to make money because both guys are around 2-1 on the incomplete pass. might not be bad. But also, like, if the shoulder truly is giving him some problems, isn't that where all of this stuff underneath and the backs and the breakdowns that we had last week from Paul Charchian and others about Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson being the guys with their catch props to go over and the yardage as well? Those are the three bets that I put in to the guide that's coming out this week. It's all on the same guy. I laddered Henderson with the receptions, with the yards. You can still find him at 30-plus yards at 12-1 in the game. 18 out of 19 number two running backs against Seattle this year caught at least one pass. 18 out of 19, including Blake Corum last week, NFC title game, when he caught three. And that was 17-1 for him to catch three.
What did you get again? With the ladder, 11-1, what was it?
Well, that's available right now. Yeah. 30-plus was 12-1.
Okay.
You better than that?
Because I always read the picks, and Bill 80 sends it out in the email. At Hard Rock, Ohio, he got over 24.5 yards, 11-1. That's insanity.
Oh, man.
It's a dump-off that he could... I mean, that guy's a home-run hitter.
He's their most electrifying offensive player.
Yeah.
Not named Drake May. 24.5 is what?
So they're saying... They're saying he's not going to be part of this game when you look at the props, and but also the passing attack. But I just need one dump-off, and it's, you know, could be a house call. The guy's explosive.
Sure.
We're not asking much. Also, have a 10-yard catch, though, too.
On top of that, the Seahawks have a ferocious pass rush, and the offensive line for New England is not exactly great. And they've been the rookies, Will Campbell included, getting dominated here in the playoffs.
Or you can go the Stevenson round if you want to. A lot of people making that case. I don't mind him MVP 30-1. I think there's a path for Stevenson MVP if he has a big game on the ground and through the air. And maybe gets a couple touchdowns. Headed into big game 60, your last chance to lock in the lowest price we've ever offered on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. $60 off the regular annual price. Code FTM. VSiN Pro gives you every best bet, every host, every guest. The email from Bill 80 in the morning, the DK Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, the videos, the replays, the betting guides, Mackinnon's Super Bowl simulation, his daily updates and numbers and trends every day in the NBA. It expires after the big game. VSiN.com/subscribe. Code FTM.
We will dive into weekend betting observations coming up next from Trevor Noah saying potato last night at the Grammys. Did you see that?
Oh, man.
Oh, incredible. To a team that can win the entire thing. But I'll explain coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
I made a bet during the break. We have a day game today in the association, and the Charlotte Hornets are playing at home. They were 6.5-point favorites in that neighborhood against New Orleans. Severe weather in the Charlotte area. They played a day game against the Spurs, beat them over the weekend as well. I bet the Hornets plus 134 to come back and win this game. They were down by 15 at halftime. They were 7 of 30 from deep in the first half. 7 of 30. And they cut the lead down to 5 during the break. It's now back up to 8. The Pelicans lead 67-59. But that was one of my weekend betting observations, is that taking down the Spurs like they did, I have pretty much every way that you can bet the Charlotte Hornets at this point, Paulie. I have them. It's going back to July, 14-1 to make the playoffs. Last week, I think 4-1 to be a part of the play-in, over 24.5 wins. If they win this today, they're at 23.
4-1 to be part of the play-in. Yeah. And I think they're going to be definitely in the play-in if they make it. I don't want to jinx you, but in the play-in, because they're 7 back of Philadelphia.
Right.
And they're only 2 back of the reeling Bulls. And maybe, well, I don't know what's going to happen with the Bulls. They already made a trade, and the odds plummeted on them to acquire Freak from 45-1 to 4-1 at DraftKings. That's nuts.
Yeah.
But if they, as Tim McMahon said today on ESPN.com, I guarantee they pass the Bulls. They just had an incredible month. Their offensive rating was 121 Oh, points per 100 possessions. Defense was 109. That was fifth in the league. They had the best road point differential in a month in NBA history.
Mm-hmm.
And when Ball, Knipple, the Abate, the Moose, Miller, and Bridges are out there, they're 15-7 with an offensive rating of 140 points per 100 possessions and a net of 30.4, which is unbelievable. So they can definitely do this to catch the, I mean, who knows? I mean, the Atlanta Hawks have been a big disappointment. They're only a game and a half behind the Hawks, and Atlanta is the 10. So if you just get in there and give you a chance, now you're going to have to win maybe two games. We'll see what seed they get. But you're five games out of the eight seed. But you are playing great basketball. You've won six in a row. You mentioned what they did against the Spurs. And let's not jinx them here and get a loss after we're ready to pump their tires. So let's keep this going. But those are incredible numbers.
They just missed back-to-back-to-back three-pointers, by the way. On one possession, they got the offensive rebound to cut it to two. And now the other way, bam, back up to 10 now for New Orleans in this game. But like I said, the Hornets were not ready for this game today. And their power rating, I think, is pretty much at the peak right now. And I'll expand on that coming up in the next hour of the program. You know what? I'll do it right now. Because this game, again, where it closed, when you look at the Pelicans playing in some of their most recent games, they were just catching 6.5 against Philadelphia. On the road, they lost by 10. So think about how well Philadelphia's been playing here with Embiid on this tear that he's on. They were catching 9.5 against Detroit. The Pelicans were. They were plus 7.5 at Orlando, like early January, lost by 10. They were plus 10.5 at Atlanta. They were laying, this goes all the way back to the beginning of the year. They were laying 3.5 hosting Charlotte on November 4th. The Pelicans were. But that's how much the Charlotte power rating has changed. And now you're in the same like stratosphere as Philadelphia when you're playing these other teams. I don't think it can get much higher than that. But I have like 150-1. To win the division as well. Today, winning this game would be big. But the point, like, they are...
I think it's unbettable, though, now.
It is. It's they're like
too low.
They're 12-1 to win the division.
Okay, what is to make the playoffs?
Oh, I don't even see that number.
That was like plus 150, plus 140. I think that's too low now.
It is.
Because you're going to be in the plane, and you're just better off rollover parlay, assuming they're not the 7. Or the 8. I don't think they will be.
I think their current power rating in the East is almost as high as any other team in the Eastern Conference right now. Doesn't mean they're going to win the East, anything like that, but that's how good of a nicest tear has been. Kansas Final Four and national title futures comes down to one thing, and they play again tonight on the road against Texas Tech. They're catching points. We saw it rear its head again on Saturday. They are blowing out BYU at halftime, and Bucket Jones was going crazy. And the entire country, they were losing their minds over his performance. And then he couldn't play in the second half. The cramps came and got him again. He has played in 11 out of their 21 games so far this year. I think if he, you told me right now that he was not going to miss any more time and he played in every game for the rest of the year, I think they're absolutely Final Four worthy.
Wow. All right. I think they lose tonight. This conference is so good, and it's a tough turnaround. And you're going to get a Texas Tech team in a foul mood after losing to Central Florida. And they're laying 4.5. 70-yard field goal is 200-1, by the way.
Okay, right.
65-yard field goal is 40-1. How about Arizona now? 22-0. This stretch coming up now, it starts this weekend. Unprecedented, historic. Six of their next seven games, starting Saturday, will be against top 15 teams.
Wow.
At Kansas, Texas Tech at home, BYU at home, at Houston, at Baylor, Kansas, Iowa State.
Wow. Jesus.
Six of seven games against top 15 opponents. They are going to have to earn that one seed now and see if they can, how long they can go undefeated. That is nuts. And an observation also, a weekend observation and an observation from Joe Lenardi. There's a big gap between the one seeds and the two seeds. So you asked me Friday, because I think Gonzaga is going to be 32-1. They beat St. Mary's. Good call by Hoop, so they didn't cover. And it went under. I think they're going to be 32-1. You would think that'd be a one seed. But he's saying, he's got them a three right now. But he's saying the gap between the one and the twos is historic. Big, big. But other losses are coming. The question is how many are coming for all those one seeds that are so good? How many losses can they take, especially if a Gonzaga keeps winning? But even if they stub their toe, is 31-2 going to get them a one or a two seed? I don't know. That remains to be seen. But it was interesting he pointed out there's such a big gap between the Big Four.
Yeah. If you do that exercise with basically every team at the top in the Big 12 for this month alone, they all have to go through the meat grinder. Like, Kansas absolutely has losses coming.
Oh, yeah.
As we talked about previously on this show. Another observation from the weekend. Justin Rose ran away with the tournament, PGA. Good for him.
1855, wire to wire.
He is going to be way too popular of a bet at the Masters because of what he just did. And last year, he was the first-round leader. And, oh, by the way, he pushed Rory McIlroy to a playoff last year. Mm-hmm. He's down to 35-1. I would love to see that guy win the Masters. I think that'd be great. Seems like a really cool dude. But at 35-1 right now, and based on that performance this past weekend, I think everybody's going to make a case for him, and I can't be a part of that. There was a big signing over the weekend in Major League Baseball as Gino Suarez signed a one-year deal to go back with the Cincinnati Reds. So in that ballpark, one of, if not the most hitter-friendly ballparks in the entire league, he hit 49 home runs last year with two different teams, Arizona and Seattle. He's 50-1 most home runs, 65-1 most RBIs, plus 230 to hit 40 home runs, 11-1 to hit 45, and 35-1 to hit 50. That guy has 50 home run power.
Okay.
I don't know if the bet at 50-1 is worth a flyer because of the guys he has to beat out for most home runs, but it doesn't matter. They just come out, hit 214, and go smack 45 home runs. I think there are some numbers there to look at. And more on this coming up in the next hour on mentions at prediction markets. But Trevor Noah came back from a break last night during the Grammys, and he said potato, adding, quote, "If you had me saying potato on Poly Market, you just made a ton of money. Noah underscore 22, whoever that is." So it sent people who follow this into a tizzy. Like, did he actually just make himself a ton of money by saying that word? And then people quickly realized that potato was not actually offered. That was just his version of the joke.
Okay.
To bring it up.
Well, it happened. Didn't it happen last week with Trump? He said something bizarre in exact order, what it needed to be?
I think that's the case.
In a press conference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is wild. Purdom's got a great article on it. The mentions and the menus up there exploding. And that's something. And also how that cashed last week, too, with what he said.
The volume now involved with these markets, just on the mentions, it's up to like $4.5 million per game.
This guy was a CPA. Now he's a trader. He's betting $20,000 on these mentions.
Yep.
He goes, I have value here, where you would think that what a catch should be mentioned every game or something like that, and what the percentage is. And you would think that would happen on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It's an incredible article.
A guy who's like 25 years old, who basically, he's really good at coding. He's like, I'm going to come up with some stuff, some programming on this right now to find out these key phrases, how often it's said. And he found like markets that these words are rarely said, so I'm going to bet the no on it all the time. And he was raking it in. And then the Collinsworth game a couple of weeks ago, he actually said what a catch, and the guy got killed on the game.
Okay,
but
win,
lose up next. Paulie will give you a 225-1 shot. You heard me. That cashed over the weekend. Coming up on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
A blowout. It was over on Thursday. First wire-to-wire winner since 1955. Farmers Insurance, Justin Rose, 60-1 to win it, and first-round leader. No drama. Open it up. And no one could catch him. UFC, McCown decision 7-1. Teixeira decision 12-1. Ruffy round 2, 9-1. Mikhaylov submission 7-1. Round 2, 9-1. Hockey, goal in the first 10. Seattle 14-1 run. Buffalo 15-2. Minnesota Wild 16-2 overrun for the game. 11-1 overrun first period and 9 in a row. College hoops, Campbell plus 350. Fordham 6-1. Western Kentucky plus 240. Penn plus 260. Harvard 7-1. Tampa Bay Lightning yesterday down 5-1. 30-1 in play. And they said after the game, the goalie fight changed things and woke us up with Vasilevsky saying, "You want a piece of me? Let's drop the gloves." They were plus 750, down 5-2 as they came back to win. And Coyle, hat trick, 225-1 on Friday. That keeps cashing. I think there was a 9 out of 10 nights we had a hat trick.
225-1
for a hat trick. For that guy, yeah. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram, send them in, we'll put you on. This is awesome. This is Dottie, the puppy, who's watching 101 Dalmatians on TV, sits upright like it's about her family and doesn't blink once. Locked in. Focused. Awesome. Look at that. That is great.
I'm curious for the audience, those of you who have owned Dalmatians before, what it's like as an experience overall. Because look at how beautiful that dog is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely stunning. But I don't think I've ever known a single human being who has owned a Dalmatian.
That's a good point. I don't know anyone who has a Dalmatian either. It's hard to find someone with a Mastiff or a Great Dane as well.
Yeah.
Because they're giants. All right. How about this Pitbull? This is awesome. Look at the tail. The pure joy and excitement.
The groceries?
Going through the grocery bag, trying to get his treats. Going bag to bag to bag. Finally, look at his tail wagging. He's so excited. And finally, he gets, I think it's his jerky or his treats. He's got it in his mouth. Walks into the living room. Jumps up on the chair. And he's ready to go to work. And he's set now. He's got his food. That is awesome. Going through. Peekaboo. After the second or third try, he realizes the treats
He gets the routine, right?
He's got it.
Like that the treats are going to be in there somewhere. He's just got to fish them out.
All right. How about this? This is a perfect month. Take a look at your calendars and look at February. It's dubbed a perfect month because there are four exact weeks that start on a Sunday and end on a Sunday, fitting perfectly into four complete rows on a standard calendar. This hasn't happened since 2015. It won't happen again until 2037.
Looks good. Tight, huh?
That is.
Perfectly symmetric.
You got that right. Lose some. Sheffield Wednesday. English Championship League. The league below the Prem. We know our buddy Rob, who covers the Seahawks, also covers Sheffield Wednesday. I know the Meat Man doesn't think they're going to win another game. They played Wrexham Saturday. Wrexham was only 220. They've been shut out 8 matches in a row.
Oh, man.
Keep an eye on this. I think they play this weekend again or Thursday. 8 matches they haven't scored, and they have 1 win the whole season in league play. And the bad beat the Bruins up 5-1 in the second and lost against Tampa. Super Bowl, the biggest betting event of the year where limits peak and every half point matters. You're not going to outsmart the books or full-time sharps on your own. With the sharp plays, you don't have to. Advanced AI, trusted sources. They track the sharp money on sides, totals, and props before the number disappears. Free reports, alerts, transparent results since 2011. Jeff and the crew been with Follow the Money since day one. Give them a follow. Do a great job. SharpPlays.com. Trusted by pros. Monitored by the books. Visit SharpPlays.com to stay ahead of the line.
I just Googled the most consecutive clean sheets ever in the history of the Prem. I know it's a different league we're talking about here. Man U had 14 straight matches in 2008-2009.
Get out of here.
Where they had a clean sheet. That's the all-time record.
Okay.
The next closest is 10. Think about that. 14, that probably will never be defeated.
Luke, what's the price tomorrow? Okay. Where's the match? Blackburn? All right. So Blackburn plays Sheffield Wednesday tomorrow on Paramount. If you have the package at 11:45 Pacific, they're at home. They're 260.
What are they to win a nil?
Yeah, that's another good angle, too. Total 2.5, yeah. Wow. 8 draws, 1 win, 19 defeats, and then negative 7 points because they're in administration. In a world of hurt, now they got just, they're sending kids out there. 8 straight matches they've been shut out. Unbelievable.
Never even heard of that before.
Yeah, right.
For one team to go through that. I'm sure it's happened at the, you know, way lower leagues. Who was the team that Meat Man came on months ago? Was it Kyrgyzstan? No, Kyrgyzstan was playing somebody.
Kazakhstan
was playing somebody. Or was that the team? He said anytime that they're in action, you got to find a way to fade them. Mm-hmm. And he said that they're one of the worst clubs in the entire world. Okay, and it played out like that. So this bet that I have in the Hornets right now to win the game outright, they were down by 15 at halftime. They couldn't make anything. Right now, 48 seconds to go, third quarter. They're down by 1. But they've been sloppy here to close the third quarter. Back-to-back turnovers when they could have taken the lead. Missed shots that were wide open. And it's Hornets basketball right now. Their possession, 15 seconds to go on the shot clock. But I would like to have this team win this game, and I'd like to see this get real where they can make a run in this division. I don't think the teams that are, like, who scares you in that division overall? You mentioned Atlanta. They've been a mess all year. How about the Magic? San Antonio did not get back home until yesterday afternoon. Did you see that story?
Mm-hmm.
They were stuck, and they had to, like, go through, I believe, Atlanta to get back to San Antonio, and they got stuck again or delayed. And so the game was pushed back until 8 o'clock Central time last night, and the Magic... Well, people assumed that Wembanyama was not going to play. Then he announced that he was going to be in. And then that number went from San Antonio minus 6 down to like 2.5, and it shot back up. And the Magic, they have been a disaster this year. People were cutting in line to bet the team after they traded for Bane. So I don't, the Heat, do the Heat trade for Giannis by Thursday?
What'd you think of the move on the Bulls?
I think that's completely uninspiring.
It was a big move on Kalshi. And again, as I said earlier, you went from 40 to 1 to plus 450 at DraftKings.
What's the package that they can put together?
What could they send that's so enticing? I don't get it.
I think this whole thing is startling to me, that some of the packages that people talk about and the reports that come down on what teams could offer and the Bucks could actually have some interest. I would say no to all of them. So to me, at this point, I think the Bucks, in their best interest, they have to wait till the offseason. Because you are forcing it big time right now. And you're settling, I think, for a package in return for Antetokounmpo. And you can't do that with that guy. He's one of the best. I don't know where you want to put him, but he's one of the best players of all time.
Would you trade Edgecombe? Philly's been rumored.
Yeah, the Bucks would want him too, so... Would you let me flip it? Would you send him to Philadelphia if Edgecombe was not included?
No, he's got to be included.
I would think so.
I mean, what it's and draft picks and maybe, you know, I don't want Paul George's deal. Plus, he suspended 25 games. That's a bizarre story. Nuts.
Give me another game too.
If you wore a toupee, wouldn't you take it off if you were a boxer or a UFC guy?
Yeah.
I can't believe that guy, like...
Maybe that scenario never kicked in his head.
I can't believe he didn't think the toupee was going to go off. And then they threw it into the front row, and it's just sitting there. It's got its own seat. With the guy's toupee came off the boxer. It's like, that's a good chance that can happen.
It's David Spade and Tommy Boy is what happened.
Oh.
I guess, I mean, yeah, he had fun with it, though.
Yeah.
Joking around about it.
I guess it wasn't on there that tight. Got to really do a better job.
Does that ever...
Should Elaine been able to rip it off George's head like that? Or is it just supposed to be on stronger? That's, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. That was a tough call, but that was surprising. If he goes out, it's a stiff wind, knock it up.
I'm going to guess
credit to his opponent. Hit him so hard, he lost his toupee.
Probably his whole camp probably never thought of that scenario.
Yeah.
Right? Is he going to take one so hard to the chops that the toupee is going to go flying up and then he's going to be even more embarrassed? You got to think of every angle with this kind of stuff, huh?
Yeah.
They did not do that.
Yeah, you got to own it. I know. It was good.
All right. You can always get in touch with the show on X at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. Email is ftm@vsin.com. We will get into tonight's basketball card coming up next. A couple of good ones in college basketball. Small slate in the NBA, but one of the hottest players in the league has gone over this number in 7 straight games. I'll tell you which player that is next.